Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
Mark chapter 10, while you're turning there in Mark chapter 10, continue to remember to pray for Pastor as he is gone this weekend. He did stay over at when he was down at Bot, he did stay over to do a missions conference there. We just want God to bless that. Thankful for the opportunity to minister here on a Sunday morning. Glad Pastor still keeps his faith in me somewhat anyway. And he kind of just sticks me over in the kids and just forget about me. No, he does not forget about, and I'm thankful for a great man of God in our lives as pastor, and been a help to each and every one of us, I know, and a help to me. He prays for us, he cares about us, and he looks out for us, and he wants the best for us. Amen. I'm thankful that I have a pastor that wants us to make it to heaven. Amen. He's going to preach it right. He's going to preach it straight to us, and that's what he wants each and every one of us to make it to heaven. Amen. And I'm thankful for our pastor and thankful for this opportunity. And I was talking to Brother Warren there, and he says, "What are you doing? You're over here on a Sunday morning." I said, "I know." And I think I was over here several months. It's been a long time. That was a long time. And as they were taking up the offering, I realized how long it's been. I forget y'all take up two offerings because you don't get enough the first time. I forgot about the change offering. I've been out of the loop for so long here. And I do go back and watch the service sometimes, but I'll fast forward to the preaching. You know, I don't want to know what you do here. I just want to hear the preaching. But I'm thankful that this morning we're gathered together. Amen, amen. Mark chapter 10, reading a few verses of Scripture here. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?' And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Andrew, Jesus again, and said unto them, 'Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.' And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' And Jesus, looking unto them, saith, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible.' Then Peter said unto him, 'Lo, we have left all and have followed thee.'" We have left all and followed thee. The story of the rich young ruler here, he comes to Jesus. What do I have to do to make it to heaven? What do I got to do to have that eternal life? Begins to spit off all this stuff. "Hey, do not commit. I've made it. Now go and sell all you have and follow me." Are we willing to give it all up? Are you willing to turn it all over to him? And the title of my message this morning is "When Camels Make It to Heaven." When camels make it to heaven. Can you put your Bible down just for a moment and ask that God would help us and speak to our hearts this morning? Lord, we love you. God, we thank you, dear God, tonight, this morning, God, for your presence and your hand that is in this place. God, I want you to touch and I want you to work this morning in this place, God, that you would touch our hearts. We feel your glory. We feel your presence. We feel your anointing that is here. God, we want you to do a special and a mighty work amongst us, and we give you praise and we give you glory for it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for touching. We thank you, Lord, for moving. We want you to do it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Brother David, you're going to help me out here. Give me a little more monitor, but there is a buzzing sound coming from there. So I don't know if there's that buzzing noise. It could be just my ears. I don't know. there's nothing we can do about that. Well, thank the Lord anyway. That's all right. Quite often, you know, when I come over here, sometimes I talk about my family or my story or things that happened to me in particular. So this morning, you get to hear one of them stories at the very outset of my lesson. You see, or my sermon, whatever you want to call it. See, my wife and I, now I don't know about you, my wife and I, sometimes we love each other. Well, I love her, and hopefully she loves me, okay? Hopefully she loves me. But there are things that I do for her that I necessarily wouldn't do for anyone else. And that's because we have that relationship. I have that relationship with her. And so here, I don't know, just a few weeks ago, she's been bugging me, and she's bugged me, and I've just kind of ignored her. Now, that's part you probably don't want to know, but I ignored her, and she says, John, you need to get, we was at the store, and she goes, you need to get, it's on sale, you need to buy this puffer jacket. This puffer jacket, you need to buy this puffer jacket. And so I was like, but, you know, honey, I mean, it's a jacket, but it has no sleeves. Now, what kind of oxymoron is that? How are you going to stay warm? I buy a jacket to keep warm, but this jacket doesn't have any sleeves in it. And so I tried it on. I put it on. She goes, see, John, it looks good. You look good. You look good. I look in the mirror, and I'm like, well, I think I look good in anything I wear, but, you know, hey, it does. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad. I kind of feel a little bit older and a little maybe distinct, but, you know, I don't know. But then you see pictures of mannequins. They're in their 30s. I'm not in my 30s anymore, you know. So, and they're looking good. So I said, hey, it's not bad. And I'm not going to tell her, but it actually is weird because it does kind of keep you warm. And I'm not cold when I went. I mean, now when it gets 0 degrees outside and 6, I'll probably wear a little bit more than this. But just as a normal day, it actually keeps you warm. And actually, I'm like astonished by it. And I'm like, well, that's not bad little puffer jacket. You know, it's not bad. And so I go on, I wear it and whatever. Well, last week, we went to St. Louis. We went to St. Louis, and she wanted me, I put my foot down. Y'all would be proud of me, some of you. I put my foot down because she wants me to wear green. And she goes, John, you look good in green. And it's a struggle for me not to wear something that's blue. Okay? If you see me, and now you're going to pay attention here from now on out, you're probably going to pay attention to see how often I do wear blue. And because you look at my closet, it's pretty much blue. With a little bit of pink here and red there or whatever every once in a while. But it's blue. And my kids are laughing. You know, they're snickering because they know it's blue. And I'll wear blue. My polos are mostly blue or gray, you know. So, but she wants me to wear something green because, John, you look good in green. And, honey, I don't look good in green. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't. Maybe just because I don't like green, okay? Maybe that's the thing. I mean, I like green, but I just don't look good in green. Everybody green looking down at themselves this morning. I don't know. But, John, it matches your eyes, and you look good. And so, finally, I put my foot down. She goes, you need to wear this to that meeting. And I said, Christy, I'm fixing to meet all the children's ministers from all across North America. I want to be something I'm comfortable in. I don't want to be green. I'll be self-conscious all day long, but I still wore the puffer jacket. I didn't wear green, but I wore the puffer jacket. But I still wear green. And the reason why I do that is because I love her. And I have a relationship with her. And I'm willing to make sacrifices in order to make my wife happy. I'm willing to make some sacrifices in order to make my wife happy and to make sure that she knows that I love her. So that's why I will wear a puffer jacket. That's why I will wear a green shirt. In fact, I'll wear a green tie. And if she would let me, I'll try to, if you want me to wear green, I'll wear some green pants. Now, that'd be cool. That's what I really want to do is wear some green pants, but she's not keen on that. But and she'll call. Now, if you come up and compliment me on a green shirt or whatever, thank you, you know, whatever. But it doesn't mean as much to me as when I hear it from my wife. In fact, this morning, I just knew I was in the will of God. This morning, I walk in, and I had somebody, God bless their ever-living soul, and I love them. I had somebody walk up, and your tie does not match your suit. I said, well, that has nothing to do with you because my wife said it looks good. And if my wife says it looks good, then I look good in it. It just doesn't matter what you say. I get somebody else, your tie, you look at it from this way, it's pink, you look at it, it's blue. It doesn't matter. My wife said I look good in it. So if my wife says I look good in it, I look good in it. It doesn't matter what you say because I have a relationship with her. And I'm willing to make sacrifices for her. Now, after service, you can meet me in the foyer. We will sign up for a low price of $80. I'll continue this marriage counseling retreat here and later. So for you can sign up for it later after service. But because I'm thankful, a God that has that desire to have that same relationship with you and I. I'm thankful for a God that wants to be a part of our life. I'm thankful for a God that desires to be a part of us. I'm thankful for a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm thankful for a God that in Revelation 3:20 that says, behold, I want to have a relationship with you. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, if you want that relationship with him, all you have to do is open the door. Because God is standing there and he wants a relationship with you. You see, here he is in heaven throughout eternity looking down, however long ago that was before he created a man, Adam and Eve. He's looking out over the vastness of eternity and he says, you know what? It's not just enough to have these angels worshiping me. It's not just enough. I want an intimate relationship with man. I want this intimate relationship with man. I want someone that will love me when everything's going good and someone that will love me when life is not going good. I want someone that will love me and put me first when they're struggling and when everything's going all right. I want someone that's going to love me, that's not forced to worship me. The angels don't have a choice. They have to magnify God and they have to love God. But today, I'm so thankful that I serve a God that said, you know what? I will make man because I want man. I want to love him. I want to have a relationship with him. I'm not forcing. He's not forcing me. But because he desires that relationship with me, I desire to have that relationship with him. And here he is. He's looking down. He reaches down from the balcony of heaven. And he begins to shape and form man in his own image simply because he wants a relationship with you and I. So God steps out and he creates man out of the dust of the ground. If you read in Genesis, you know the story of how he reaches down and forms man and he breathes that breath of life into Adam and Adam becomes a living soul. And he was so interested in that relationship that he begins to come down in the cool of the evening wanting to have that relationship, that closeness with Adam. But there's a problem there. He is separated because God is a spirit and you cannot see God. No man has seen God at any time. So here he is. He just wants to be close to Adam. He wants to be close to him. He wants that personal relationship and he comes down to Adam. He wants that person and begins to talk with him in the cool of the evening because he loves each and every one of us. He desires that personal relationship with you and I. He desires that personal relationship with you and I as we come each and every day. It's not just enough. He wants that part of our everyday life, not just on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but he desires to be in communion union with us each and every day. But we all know how mankind is. We know how mankind is. And man, when man gets their hand on stuff, man's always going to mess it up. Man, I don't know about you, but I'll mess it up. I'll mess it up. And sure enough, man messed it up. He's going to figure out a way because sometimes we think what is good is actually bad and what's bad is actually good because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. But man will continue to mess it up as long as we have our hands on it. It was that moment when God came down to talk with Adam. Adam is nowhere to be found. God's looking for him, said, hey, I want that relationship. I want to talk with you. I desire to be with you. I want that relationship. And Adam is over here hiding from God. Adam, why are you hiding? He sewed those fig leaves together. He has a covering. And God began to question him, well, how do you even know that you needed fig leaves? How did you even know that you had to cover yourself up? And just as typical man, now I don't know about you, but I have kids as well and myself as well. It's never my fault. I'm just letting you know it's never my fault. You can ask my kids. I don't know them that they've ever done anything wrong. Now I'm just teasing. And they know I'm picking on them a little bit. But here, Adam, what did he do? He automatically shifts the blame. Well, God, you know, that woman you gave me, if she wasn't tricked by Satan, she wouldn't have fell. She wouldn't have messed up. And then, you know, God, in fact, if you really look at it, God, it's your fault. God, you made the snake, you made the serpent, you made Satan, it's your fault. You let Eve be beguiled, you let Eve trick me, and here I am in a mess, and it's all your fault, God. Now, I know none of them here has ever said that, but I've thought it a few times. God, this got to be your fault, because I surely can't mess something up this bad. When really, if I just go back and look at it, right there, it was your fault. Right there, it was my fault. Right there, it was me. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, began to teach Adam, you cannot approach God in just any old way. All of a sudden, now I want to see where that relationship really is at. I want to see if you really desire that relationship. I want to really see if you desire to be with me. And all of a sudden, he says, it's not just enough for you to have fig leaves, but you're going to have to make a sacrifice. You're going to have to do something to make a sacrifice. Yeah, that puffer jacket maybe not look good on you. You're going to have to sacrifice, Adam. You're going to have to shed some blood of bulls and goats and put on that vest and put on that covering in order for you to have that relationship that you desire. So God begins to talk to him and begins to teach him. And we know the story. How about in the Old Testament? It just wasn't enough. They just couldn't approach God. They begin to have to make a sacrifice. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, if we really want that relationship that we say we want with God, we're going to have to make a sacrifice. Sometimes we're going to have to push something to the side and say, God, my desire is to be with you. My desire is to have a relationship with you. I hear you knocking, God, and I want you to come in, God, and I want that relationship with you. God, I want that relationship with you. I got to have that relationship with you. But sometimes a sacrifice is going to have to be made. You see in the Old Testament where the temple where blood is shed and roll back the sins one more year, there were some things that somebody had to put aside in order for there to be a relationship with God, in order for them to be delivered from the hand of Pharaoh and from Egypt. There had to be a sacrifice of blood, and they put it on the doorpost, and that death angel would pass by, all because we desired a relationship with him and needed God to deliver them out of the hand of the enemy. If we want to have the hand of the enemy, if we want to have God deliver us from the hand of the enemy, it's time we make a relationship with God and say, God, you know what? The enemy's attacking me. God, whatever I got to sacrifice, whatever I got to do, I want that relationship with you. I want your hand upon my life. I want your hand upon me, God, because I'm willing to give up. I'm willing to count the cost. I'm willing to take up that cross and follow you. I'm so thankful, in fact, that he made that ultimate sacrifice for you and I. He said, I love you so much, and I want to be in relationship with you so much that no more are you going to have to shed the blood of bulls and goats and lamb, but I'm going to become that ultimate sacrifice, because that ultimate sacrifice tells me, you know, I love you more than anything else in this world. So I'm going to give my life on a cross for you. I want to give my life on a cross that says, you know what, I got to have that relationship with man. I got to have that relationship with you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been in life, it doesn't matter. I desire that relationship with you, and it's because of his sacrifice. Because of his sacrifice, and I'm thankful that he gave that ultimate sacrifice. It was on that cross where I received my remission of sins. It was on that cross that he made a way where there was no way. It was on the cross where my sins were washed away so that I may have finally that beautiful relationship with him. Oh, is anyone thankful for the cross this morning? Is anyone thankful for the blood that he shed? Oh, he gave his life so that we can have life more abundantly. He gave his life that so we could have newness of life. He gave his life so we could walk in communion with him. He gave his life that so we can have that relationship and that he so desires to have with each and every one of us. Now, God is not way off in heaven or in some way distant Milky Way or galaxy, because he desired not just to be there, but he didn't desire to walk as he did when he was a man. He manifested in flesh, seen of angels, but he wanted to live in each and every one of us. He wanted to live inside of each and every one of us. That relationship he desires to be in every single one of us by the power of the Holy Ghost. So why do you wake up every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock? Because I desire to have a relationship relationship with Him. Why do you go to church on 6 o'clock on Sunday night? It's because I desire to have a relationship with Him. Why do you go to Bible study at 7 o'clock every Wednesday? Because I desire to have a relationship. Why do you show up to prayer meeting on the first Tuesday? Because I desire to have a relationship with Him. And then some people say, well, that kind of stuff is old-fashioned. That kind of stuff is way back in the days. Well, more relevant now. You can sit at home in your PJs and watch it on Facebook or YouTube, whatever it is. You can watch the live feed, and I'm not saying that's bad, but there's something about sometimes when we just make it up in our mind, God, no matter what the sacrifice, no matter what the cost, no matter what the situation, God, I'm going to make a sacrifice for You. I want to do something for You. There, because when there's something about when you have a relationship that brings sacrifice to the table. You see, too many times, We want a church of convenience and not a church of convictions. We want a church that pats you on the back and say, you know what, you're doing good, buddy, just show up, just be there. Rather than saying, you know what, you need to straighten your life out, you need to turn from your ways, and you want a relationship with God, get yourself out of, you can't get yourself on your own, you need to rely on Him, and quit doing what you're doing, show up to church, be faithful to the things of God, develop a relationship with God, develop a walk with God. But no, we can sit there and say, we just have a church of convenience. Whenever you want to show up, it's the doors are open here, the doors are open. We don't serve a God of convenience. Now He will meet you wherever you're at. He will meet you, and I believe He'll meet you wherever you're at. But it's time as a church, we realize that, God, I got to have a relationship with You. God, I got to make some sacrifices sometimes. I got to be in communion with You. See, this world needs a God that they can have a relationship with. We have all the convenience in the world, and because everything's so convenient, we don't have a relationship with God, because we don't have a relationship because there's no sacrifice. Everything in the world is so convenient, we forget. We get thinking, God, You're just convenient. I'll just call on You when I need You. God, You're going to show up. And He does. And He'll show up. But what about making that relationship with Him? God, I got to have that relationship with You. God, I got to, why? You know, that's why marriages fail. I gave you that free marriage session at the beginning. But that's why marriage fails, because it's just simply a marriage of convenience. They have a relationship, but there's no sacrifice. Because I could get all upset. That puffer jacket is stupid and I'm not wearing green, so you just have to go on your merry way. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we take that into the kingdom of God. You know what? And if God doesn't make me happy, I'll just go somewhere else. If this church don't make me happy, I'll just go somewhere. We just serve a God of convenience. We serve a God, and marriage has been convenient. So that's why, we just look at it, plenty of fish in the sea, and they'll just go this way and they'll go that. They won't ever make a sacrifice. We live in a world that where there is no sacrifice, where they'll just do whatever they want to do, because I'm in it for myself. I'm in it for myself. That's why it's hard to talk sometimes when you talk about living for God and making some sacrifices. It's easy to live for God with no sacrifices. Just show up when you want. Just do what you want. I'll just come and love God when I want. Because I know God's always going to be there. I know God is faithful. I don't have to be, but God is. And we wonder sometimes why we struggle to live for God and struggle to, why do I always have these problems and difficulties? I wonder sometimes it's because we don't have a relationship and we have no sacrifice to live for God. Well, we get excited when we talk about the sacrifice that He made on Calvary. I get excited when we talk about Him giving His life for us. I get excited when I talk about Him manifesting Himself in flesh and desiring to have that relationship with me and with you. And I love it when it says, take my yoke upon you, for it's easy. I get excited when I hear, lo, I am with you always. But just about when we talk about that relationship, we talk about making sacrifices. He says, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. We talk about making sacrifices. We talk about, well, really making a dedicated relationship. We pull the emergency brake. Whoa, God, whoa, whoa, whoa. That may be a little bit more than I want to cost. That may be a little more than I want to count for. You see, Mark chapter 10. We experience this rich young ruler. And it alludes to that very fact. Because here he comes desiring. He doesn't want nothing from God. He doesn't come for healing. He doesn't come for comfort. He doesn't come because he needs anything. He just comes because I just simply want to make it to heaven. I just want to make it to heaven. What do I got? A good master. Good master, in Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Comes before him kneeling. God, I got to know. Jesus, I got to know. What do I got to do to inherit eternal life? What do I got to do to make it to heaven? What do I got to do to be saved? And Jesus answered, why callest thou me good? There is none good. There is but God. And he goes on to say, thou knowest the commandments. You know what you should do. Don't commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Do these things that are easy. I mean, I don't know anybody in here that's killed anybody. Hopefully we're not stealing from each other, not talking bad about each other. We're honoring mom and dad. And all of a sudden, this rich young ruler begins to feel something. Oh, huh, wow, really, that's all I got to do? Notice he didn't talk about, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He didn't talk about graven image. He didn't talk about those first three commands. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He didn't ask him about his relationship with God. He only asked him about his relationship with others. And so the man answered, master, all these things I have done from my youth up. God, I've done it. I've done this. I'm ready to punch my heavenly ticket. I've done it. I've made it. You can almost hear the giddiness in his voice when he begins to say, master, all these I've done from my youth up. Maybe a little self-righteous. And he said, look at me. I'm making it. I'm getting to heaven. I'm going into heaven. I'm making it. But all of a sudden, we see Jesus. Maybe, I don't know, it doesn't say he ever got up, but maybe that rich young ruler is still on his knees. And Jesus says in verse number 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Just kind of looked at him and said, look here. Maybe he grabbed his face in his hands and said, look here. I love you. One thing thou lackest. One thing that you need to do. One thing that you need to make it to heaven. Can you do one thing to make it to heaven? Just go sell all you have. Give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Take up your cross and follow me. Forget all everything you've done in the past. Forget the past. Just follow me, and you're there. And all of a sudden, we know the story. Essentially what Jesus was saying, make a sacrifice and have a relationship with me. Make a sacrifice and have a relationship with me, because it's not all about you. So where is your sacrifice for the things of God? And he went away sad at that saying. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope that if God asked me to sell everything that I had and I could punch my ticket to heaven, I hope the first thing I would do is put up my house for sale, put up my car for sale, put up my family for sale, put up whatever it else is, because God, I got to make it to heaven. God, I'm going to make it to heaven. God, whatever you got to do, I got to make it to heaven. But all of a sudden, that rich young ruler looked and turned his back on God. Turned his back on heaven, said, I'm not sure heaven's worth it. I'm not sure heaven is worth all that. I'm not sure heaven is worth putting my desires to the side, putting my wants to the side, putting my agenda to the side. I'm not sure heaven is worth really making that sacrifice that you desire, God. I'm not sure heaven is really worth it. If we let that sink in for a moment, how mind-boggling that sounds, but yet this world, we live in a world that says you can do whatever you want. Heaven is not worth it. Heaven is not worth making a sacrifice. Heaven is not worth having a relationship with God. Heaven is not worth it. And Jesus looked round about and told us, how hardly should they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? When we think about that rich young ruler, we say, well, I'm not rich like that, so it must be all right. So I must be making it to heaven because I'm not rich. But That's not what he means right there. Are you willing to put everything to the side to make it to heaven? Are you willing to put yourself to the side and say, you know what, God, I'm going to put everything to the side. I'm willing to have a relationship with you. I'm willing to make a sacrifice, God, to have that relationship with you. I don't want anything to get in the way. I refuse to let anything get in the way of my love for him and my relationship with him. Because are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to have that relationship that he desires? And the disciples were astonished at his words because they thought, they knew they weren't rich, they had nothing. The disciples were astonished, and Jesus said to his children, how hard is it them for to trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? I can hear the disciples in the background murmuring, if he can't make it into heaven, how are we going to make it into heaven? What in the world are we going to do? How we're following Jesus, what are we going to do? Saying, and they said to themselves, my God, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? What's going to happen? Because not trusting money is hard when that's all we have. We rely on ourselves and we don't rely on God, because if I don't have a job, how am I going to pay for my bills? How I don't need to trust in God, because you know what? If times get tough, I'll just go and get another job. I really don't need to rely on God, because I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And I'm not saying you shouldn't work hard and you shouldn't do what you need to do. But if God says, hey, you know what? I need you to lay it all down to the side, because I'm going to take care of you. And yet that job's getting in the way of you being at church. That God's getting in the way of you having a relationship with me. I want to say, you know what, God? I'm going to put that to the side, because God, I'm going to make a sacrifice, because God, I got to make it to heaven. I got to make it to heaven more than the air I breathe. God, I got to make it to heaven. God, I got to make it to heaven. For it is easier, Jesus said, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, he's saying, if you're trying to do it on your own, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. If you try to do this thing on your own without help, you're not going to make it. If you're trying to do this thing without following me, you're not going to make it. And then they were astonished out of the measure, saying to themselves, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? The disciples were confused, because if you look at it, they understood exactly what Jesus is saying, because by no means were they rich. They didn't have, it wasn't the fact that they was rich, but how are we not going to rely on ourselves to make it? But Jesus said, if you don't make the sacrifice to have that relationship, I don't want to rely on myself. I don't want to rely on others, but I got to rely on Jesus. And Jesus looked upon them and said, with men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Jesus began to tell them, if you rely on yourself, you're right, you're not going to make it. But when you begin to put your trust in him, when you begin to put your faith in him and begin to say, God, I got to have that relationship with you. God, whatever I got to give up, whatever I got to sacrifice, whatever I got to do, God, I'm going to pick up that cross and I'm going to follow you. God, whatever I got to put down to the side, whatever I got to put down to the side and just put a little time a day, every day to be with you and to be in that communion with you, God, I'm going to do it, because because what it comes down to is, God, I got to make it to heaven. God, I want to walk on streets of gold. God, I want to have that relationship with you that you desire to have with me. So God, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. And then Peter said it to him, lo, we have left all and have followed you. I put my trust in you. I have no one else. It's when we get to that point when we say, God, I put my trust in you. If I can't lean on you, then I can't lean on anybody else. God, if I don't have you in my life, I have nobody else. God, I got to make it to heaven. Whatever kind of sacrifice I got to make, I got to make it to heaven. I know it may seem sometimes that the road may get tough. I know we feel the weight of making a living and providing maybe for our family. I know there are pressures in life, and I know it may seem like a times we can't make it. But Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You can take faith. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I have a design destination for you. I'm building you a house. I'm making it there for you. I'm ready for you. Come on, I want that relationship with you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and ye and away ye know. And he stepped down in verse number 6, and he said this. Oh, he said, Jesus saying to him, I am the way. You want to make it to heaven? Don't worry, because I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to know how you're going to make it to heaven? Put your trust in him. Put your faith in him. Say, God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but as long as I'm holding your hand. God, as long as I'm making that relationship important, God, as long as I'm doing whatever I can do to serve you and to live for you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything's going to be all right. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that no matter what I may face in life, I can love on him, and he loves me, and God is there with me, and he's there to help me, and I may try to figure it out, but as long as I'm holding his hand, as long as I'm following after him, it may not seem that it's the best relationship. I don't know about you. There are sometimes I may get frustrated with life, and I may even take it out on God sometimes. And I come and I go, God, why is this happening and why is that happening? But all of a sudden, because I have a relationship with him, because I made that sacrifice, God can reach down and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what you're going through. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm able to help you. I'm able to pull you up. I'm able to lift you up out of that darkness. I'm able to lift it out of that confusion. And with God, all things are possible. So I understand we may not have physical riches like that rich young ruler had, but do you understand that we live in one of the richest countries in the world? We're like number 3 in the world. We have need of nothing. We may want some things, but we really have need of nothing. I don't have it written down here. I think it's like the average median salary is like almost $4,000 a month, $3,700, whatever it is. We live in a country that has all, we have need of nothing. You know what? We get sick. We get whatever. The first thing we do, we'll call the doctor. Not that there's anything wrong with doctors. Not that there's anything wrong with medicine. I get it, but I wonder what would happen if sometimes, you know what? If I'm not feeling well, God, I need you more than I need a doctor first. God, I need you. God, I need your touch. I need your help. We live in a world where it's all about ourselves, where we individualize our need, saying if we need is something, I'll work harder, I'll try harder, I'll do it on my own. I have need of nothing. But Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, lay not up treasures for yourselves upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. It's been said oftentimes, you want to see where a person's heart is, see where their money is. Go look at their bank statement. You want to see a condition of somebody's heart? Go look at their bank statement every month. Go find out where they're putting their money at. Go find out where they're sacrificing for. Go find out where they're doing stuff for. But I don't want to be like that rich young ruler and look at what I've done and look at what God's blessed me with and say, you know what? I can't turn my back on it. I can't. But God, whatever you want me to turn my back on, I got to make it to heaven. I got to make it to heaven. I got to go where I got to be. I refuse to walk away sad. I refuse to walk away and say, you know what, God, I'm not going to do everything within my power to make it to heaven. Whatever I got to give up, whatever I got to give up, whatever I got to do, I've got to make it to heaven. As we all stand all across this place, I'm thankful for a God that knows right where I'm at. I'm thankful for a God that knows what I'm facing. So how does a camel make it to heaven? So he said, it's hard for a rich man to make it to heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And they used to say, I don't know that it's biblical, but you go and you study it, there was these little arches in the gates that they would close all the doors at night, they would say, and there was these little arches where if they wanted to get in, they would have to take off. They would have to unpack the camel and make that camel scrunch down and crawl through this small little gate. And they would call it the eye of the gate. And I don't know that that's true. And some people say it's not true. Some people say it is. So I don't really know. But the point of the matter is, if you think about a needle, that camel going through there. In other words, if you try to do it on your own, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. But when a camel makes it to heaven, that's when it say, God, you know what? I put my trust completely and totally to you. You see, a camel symbolizes power of endurance and strength and patient perseverance. James 1 and, James 1 and 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, yes, we must repent of our sins. We must be baptized in Jesus' name. We must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in tongues. But you know, sometimes life gets tough. And we have to realize, you know what? I got to have that relationship with Him. I got to have that relationship. See, camels have that reputation of being able to go through a desert with just a little bit of water. Just a little bit of stuff. You may be in a dry and thirsty place this morning, but can I tell you, you can make it. You can make it. It may seem like the world is against you, but you know what? You can make it. You can make it. You can have that relationship with God. God, I put everything to the side. I'll make that sacrifice that you want me to make. God, because I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13, which strengtheneth me. We get excited about that verse when it says, I can do all things through Christ. But we forget about Philippians 3:13, where it says, behold, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know what? I tried. Yesterday's gone. I can't go and change yesterday. I can't go and change anything I did. Maybe I didn't have that right relationship with God. Maybe I didn't make the sacrifices that I knew that God was calling me to. But I forget those things which are behind. And I'm reaching forth to those things which are before me. Because that next verse says, I press toward the mark of the high calling, for the prize of the high calling of God. God, I know I made mistakes yesterday. May have not had that relationship with you that you desired to have with me. And I didn't make the sacrifices that you was calling me to. But God, this morning, I want to make it to heaven. I got to make it to heaven. I know it may seem impossible. I know it may seem like nothing, that I might not make it at times. But God, I've got to make it to heaven, so I'm willing to lay it all down at an altar and say, God, whatever I got to do, God, whatever I got to lay down in an altar, whatever I got to sacrifice, God, I want that relationship with you. God, I got to have that relationship with you. I got to have that relationship with you. I'm willing to give it all up. Because I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm pressing toward the prize. I'm pressing to Him. I'm pressing toward Him. I wonder what this story would have looked like had that rich young ruler that day would have looked at Jesus and said, you know, I've done it all on my own for so long. I might as well give it a shot. God, pick it up. Pick up that cross. I had it all at one time. Nice house. Anything you anyone imagined. But I won't give it all up for God. I'll take up that cross. God, wherever you lead, I will follow. God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. God, whatever sacrifice I got to make, whatever I got to do, because God, I got to make it to heaven. I got to make it to heaven with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. We've all have fallen short. We've all have made mistakes. But I wonder here this morning if somebody would get a made up mind and say, God, I desire to have that relationship with you. God, I know I've made mistakes. I know I haven't done everything right. But God, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to put it all on the line. God, I'm willing to follow you because, God, I got to make it to heaven. God, I got to make it to heaven, God. Don't let anything stand in the way. God, I'll put it all on the line this morning. God, I'll put it all on the line this morning. I'm opening up these altars and say, God, whatever I got to sacrifice, whatever I got to do, whatever kind of relationship you want to have with me, God, I desire to have that relationship with you. God, I need you. God, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. I'm willing to put it on the line because, God, it doesn't matter what yesterday held. It doesn't matter what yesterday looked like. God, I got to make that sacrifice. I got to put it on the line because I got to make it to heaven.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.